Hi, I'm Alex Reese, and I'm here with Amy Schmittauer. Amy, thank you for joining me today. Can you start off by telling me a little bit about yourself, please?
Sure, and you did a really nice job pronouncing my last name. Thanks, Alex, and thanks for having me. My name is Amy. I have a video content marketing consultancy called Vlogboss Studios. So I help brands and businesses with their online video, mostly with YouTube. And I talk a lot about this on my own blog, SavvySexySocial.com. So I post 3 videos a week and sometimes my own little version of a podcast. And we talk about how to live the marketing lifestyle and be the best version of yourself online and in real life to grow your business.
So you say you have your own website. You also have your own business also, right?
That's right. Vlogboss Studios.
Okay. So can you tell me a little bit of how you started your own business and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, it's a really long story, but if I had to give you the best part of the movie, essentially, like 3 or 4 years ago, I had been working in public policy and lobbying, and I thought that was what I was going to do forever. And while I was at that job doing that sort of thing, I had found marketing and fell in love with it. And I started doing a lot of research on it. And even in my spare time, I was, you know, learning about social media marketing and how brands could use it, and even using my vacation time to go to conferences. Well, after about 1.5 years of that, I decided it was time to take the leap. And I left my job and started working for myself. And it was a little bit scary at first, but I had done a lot of networking. Again, while I was at the other job trying to learn if this was something I really wanted to pursue. And so by doing that, by the time it came around that I was like, hey guys, guess what? I work for myself now. It was actually the perfect storm because of all the contacts that I had made and letting people know what I do and starting the video blog so people could see that I did know what I was talking about. And there was a platform for me to share that information. I immediately started to get business, and I've been able to consult with clients ever since. So going into my 4th year working for myself.
Wow, that's a really good story.
Thank you. I also think it's a good story.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you're happy with everything that you've done. It sounds like you've come a long way. So are there like 3 tips or pieces of advice that you could give to people wanting to start their own vlog page or blog?
Yeah, I think that the most important thing that you could do is, it's really easy these days to have, what do they call it? I mean, just ADD. Everybody wants to do something. They don't know what it is, and they just have lots of ideas. And the best thing that you can do is nail down what you're most excited about and what you're most likely to continue to do. You have to take into consideration that there's nobody that's going to be listening in the beginning. And that's really tough for a lot of new bloggers, whether it's video or written content or even just a photo blog. It's tough in the beginning because there's usually not an audience, and you have to put a lot of effort into getting people to listen to you by engaging with them first before they'll come to your blog and say, hey, what you got here is a really good thing. So it's really important that whatever it is you are blogging about and in the consistency of it, the two of them have to align. So if you're not excited about what you're writing about or what you're talking about, it can be really difficult in those early stages when it's hard to get an audience to stick with it. So as long as you're really pumped about it and you're the best version of you and you can speak very intelligently about it and you're providing great value to people, even if those people have yet to find you, that's really my biggest tip. And then next would kind of be, you know, we are talking about a couple of different things. Are we talking about written or photo or whatever? And you need to, again, really think about what is the best representation of you? How can you best speak to this subject matter? And maybe you're just a killer writer, or you just like writing the most. Maybe even if you're not the best writer, it still might be the perfect venue for you. So really analyzing all of your options. For me, I had been making video for a period of time before I started working for myself. I've been a YouTuber since 2008. night. So at that point, I was kind of saying to myself, well, I could just blog written just like everybody else, but instead I want to stand out. And so I'm going to start making videos because that's something that I have in my arsenal that's an upper hand. And I want to use that. I need to use whatever advantages I have over everybody else. So really be thinking about what is the best platform for you to best convey your message. And then I just have to reiterate the consistency. That's the most important thing. Whatever you do, it's going to be a hard road. And if you can't figure out exactly what a consistent contribution is going to be on your part and stick with it, you're going to have a much harder time. A lot of people just fall off the wagon early on because of the lack of engagement. And you have to be consistent or it's just never going to pick up, because one day somebody's going to find you and share you, and they might be able to move the needle for you. But if you don't have the archive that people are looking for when they find you, like, oh yeah, they did one good thing, but they don't seem to be very consistent, it's going to be really hard to retain that following. So really be as consistent as possible. Don't overextend yourself. If you think 3 blog posts a week is a lot, then don't set that as the bar. Start with 1 per week. Start with 2 per month, whatever it is. And the best thing you can do is scale up. You want to scale forward, not backward. So you can do more whenever it's time, but going backward is not going to help you.
Okay, so what I'm gathering is that consistency and personality are two of the most important things. And that practice makes perfect.
Yes, practice makes perfect. Very well summed up, Alex. Seriously, a lot of people get so much pressure about, this is my first podcast, this is my first video, this is my first blog post. It's going to suck. No matter what, everything you do going forward is more practice and it will always get better. And you will always get better. You just have to keep it up.
Okay, perfect. I mean, that's good advice for me too, coming in new blogging and my first podcast that you're being a part of today. So I'm so honored.
Thank you, Alex.
Yes, I'm very honored to have you as my guest. I just wanted to ask a couple of fun questions. I first wanted to know, what is your favorite form of social media and why?
Oh, that's tough. I have to be true to YouTube, because even though YouTube is a content host, you can very well just post video there and not think of it as a social network. But the comment section on YouTube is very, very active and can work in your favor if you work hard toward it. So YouTube is my number one, but I am just a huge sucker for Twitter. I love Twitter. I've been on Twitter for a really long time. So I love Twitter, but I also love Instagram. So all three of those are really like top three musts for me. Facebook, I don't care. You know,
you don't care. That's surprising.
Yeah, but it's just gone through so many changes, and it's just so difficult as a brand page. Personal pages don't have as much of a problem, but when you as a brand are on Facebook, you have to follow, you know, these rules, and they are good rules to have, but Facebook makes it very difficult to get it, even in front of an audience that already likes you. You have to pay a lot of money to make it happen and have Facebook make it worth your while. So it's just gotten a little bit too regulated for me. And Twitter, Instagram, even Instagram with their promoted posts these days, everything is still fairly chronological and you're seeing things in real time, which is what social media is meant to be. And seeing Twitter's original question, you know, it was like, what are you doing right now? And it was all about sharing moments about what you're doing. And now we use it for a lot of different reasons, but one person might be talking about their favorite TV show that they're watching and somebody else is climbing a mountain. Just that phenomenon of what different people are doing at different times and how we can come together and talk about it in one place is really special. So I think Twitter and Instagram and even YouTube still hold very, very true to that, and Facebook's having a harder time.
That is very true. I never really thought about it from the organizational standpoint of success, being a college student.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, since that was so hard for you to answer because you like so many, maybe your least favorite and why would be easier for you to answer?
My least favorite? That's a really interesting question. No one ever asks me that, because I as much as I have favorites, and there are some that I'm just like so-so about, I'm fairly open about social media platforms. I'm not usually one to look at something and be like, oh, that's terrible. I will say that I had that impression about Snapchat. I didn't think that that was going to be a positive. I didn't think that was going to be a positive use of social media, because it is giving people the perception that when you post something in a venue that it's that is telling you is private. And this goes for a lot of different platforms. I think there's a different secret posting app that you guys are using on campus, but it goes for all of them that are saying, we're going to keep your content secret. But that's not a good message to be putting out to social media users, because the reality of the situation is, no matter if it's a secret or it disappears, you are entrusting people who are only social media contacts with some sort of personal information. So even on Facebook, when people post a message to their Facebook friends and, you know, it's like, oh, well, if your work saw that, you could get fired. Oh, well, my work's not going to see it because my profile is private and only my friends can see it. But why is it that your Facebook friends are this sacred group of people that are not going to share your secrets? They didn't sign anything when they joined this social network and became your friend. Nobody has to keep your secrets. It's the platforms that are saying they're going to keep them, but it's just not reality. We don't keep each other's secrets even when we say we're going to. We're human. So I think that my least favorites are the Snapchats of the world. That being said, I am on Snapchat and have kind of changed my mind a lot about it a little bit, because you know what? Sometimes I just want to post like a really crappy selfie, but I would never post it on Instagram because Instagram is so sacred for me and it's such a pretty experience. But I'm like, love putting that kind of stuff on Snapchat. But it's still content that if it like popped up later, it's not going to be something that affects my life. It's still just silly and not just like noteworthy. So I guess as the long-winded answer of saying the secret apps are not my favorite. I don't think that they're the best thing that we could be putting out in social media right now.
I think you have really good reasoning for that too.
Thank you.
I would have to agree with everything that you just said.
Thanks.
But okay, so I guess that's all the time we have for this podcast. But I really, really appreciate you helping me out with this, and it was fun having you as a guest.
Thanks for having me, Alex. I'm so excited for you to be like 100 podcasts down the road and listen to this back, because I think it's going to be an amazing growth pattern for you. You're very good at this.
Thank you. I appreciate it.